Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
Like I said, we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now.
For
you
God's
shut up.
Sake.
I swear that I will go over
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hi, and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth. That there's Rex Hupke. There's chaos all around us right now.
Madness.
WGN Radio Studios, we're moving to a new location. And so we are like, these are the last two microphones left in the building, it feels like.
Yeah, we are.
There's people hauling stuff out and ripping things out of walls and moving things with hand trucks, and it's chaos.
I am being moved as we do this, actually, like physically, my body.
See, because you're on the Tribune side, so you have fancy things like movers. We're a little DIY over here.
Really? Well, we have to pack up our own. Like, I just had to muck out my desk.
What does that mean?
Like, I had to clear out my desk. I have to pack. Yeah. We get one container that we can put everything in. That's it. That's all they'll take is whatever fits in that one container.
All right. How'd that go for you?
Fine, actually, which was shocking because my desk was just trashed. It was just covered in crap. There was stuff in all the drawers. It was completely bad. And apparently all I need is something. And then the stuff that I actually took was like, you know, my narwhal acorn, which is like a little figurine.
Sure.
It's a narwhal and a unicorn crossed. And, you know, like a bunch of fart machines and like a bunch of silly crap.
The essentials is what you're saying.
I actually tweeted this just a moment ago. I found on the desk underneath a big pile of stuff a whoopee cushion that had been there for so long it had gotten brittle and was like breaking into pieces.
Wow. So. Well, my like other hosts that are, you know, fancy and full-time, they got like, you know, little signs up and you had to pack your crap and everything. Mm-hmm. And I have one drawer that I have here, and in fact, everything kept getting raided because it was like in between shows on Saturday, a lady needs some paper plates and forks. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So I just had I had a box of plastic forks and a box of paper plates and little post-its on it that said these belong to Amy Guth, but she's happy to share.
As a lady does.
Gone in 2 days. So I was like, why do people keep raiding my crap? So what I did is you know, because I was also keeping like, you know, some highlighters and pens and notepads and things like that in there. I put three tampons in that drawer. No one ever touched it again. ever again. That's exactly how I fixed that problem.
Wow.
So that is advice that I give to women all the time. Like if you're in a shared office space, put a fucking tampon in that drawer.
Maybe
no one's going to mess with
that. That could be like hang one on your doorknob for like instead of getting an alarm. Maybe that would, you know, if nobody breaks in, who knows what that might
probably. All those strange things men are afraid of.
I didn't realize tampons were that powerful. That's pretty cool.
Right. Like, it's not used. It's wrapped. It's in,
sure.
Like, it's obviously, although that would be a bold statement to, like, throw a used tampon down.
Yeah.
Don't touch my crap.
Yes, this is mine.
Anyway, so let's actually talk about politics.
Mm.
Where do we start today, Hupke?
God, it's as usual. It's that same just... So much.
I know, where we're like, wow.
Drowning in
where
it.
All the things that happened this week.
I particularly loved, and by love I mean hated, Trump's screwing over of the Philadelphia Eagles in what was just... What I didn't like was how people just sort of stepped away from this and didn't call it exactly what it was, which was a white nationalist event that he held at the White House.
Oh,
that's all he did. He just
absolutely
booted the black people out.
Yes.
Because they were going to because he thinks they kneel, apparently, because he thinks all black football players kneel, when in fact none of the Philadelphia Eagles knelt during the national anthem this past season, during their Super Bowl season. Not one. But he disinvited them because apparently not many were going to show up because he's an asshat and they didn't want to come and see him, as most professional teams seem to want to do lately, or not want to do nowadays. And so,
would you, if you were invited to the White House for any purpose, would you do it?
Only if it was to as for work. If I was supposed to interview him or something, I would.
Let's
do
say
that.
You like won a big award.
No,
you'd be like,
kiss my ass.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
I think that would be so satisfying to be like, hell no, am I taking that award from you that place?
Right. Honestly, a badge of honor at this point, I think, is being insulted by the way. You know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Because it's just ridiculous. And so instead, he holds this ridiculous and honestly just sad event with apparently stocked with a ton of people who were like White House interns and White House staffers who'd tuck their badges away in their jackets so nobody would know that. So they're like alleged Eagles fans, which they apparently weren't, and gets up there with very nice military band. All due respect to all of those folks and everything, just doing what they're supposed to do, and gets up and sings "God Bless America." Doesn't know the words. Doesn't know the damn words.
So funny.
Just won't shut up about how blessed and wonderful and sacred that song is, and doesn't know
screwed it all up.
Half that it just bum 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 bum. It's
so funny.
Nod nod nod. Like it's just fucking pathetic. And honestly, it was stirring racial animus. That's all that was doing under the guise of patriotism. It is nonsense and it's disgusting. And people should have called it what it was. Which was a white nationalist event. That's all that was. Period.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah.
Harumph.
Harumph. My work here is done.
Yeah. I thought he was like the thing that, in addition to that, I also was puzzling over his Melania tweets this week.
Yeah, including even this morning.
Yeah, right. Even yeah. This morning. Like the way he, let me find this one. Okay, the way this one is worded, it almost sounds like he has two different wives. It says, the fake news media, that's FNM, all caps, fake news media, has been so unfair, comma, and vicious, comma, to my wife and our great First Lady, Melania. Like the way that's worded.
Right, yeah.
To my wife, comma, our great.
But my former wife.
Right. The and makes it sound like, wait, there's a different one. During her recovery from surgery, they reported everything from near death to facelift to left the White House and me for New York or Virginia to abuse. All fake. She is doing really well. Four reporters spotted Melania in the White House last week walking merrily along to a meeting. They never reported the sighting because it would hurt the sick narrative that she was living in a different part of the world, was really ill, or whatever. Fake news, capital F, capital N, is really bad, exclamation point. What?
You know, all you had to do, if you were so concerned about that, was make sure Melania made some public appearances.
Yeah. And also, when you tweet about her initially, maybe spell her name right.
Yeah, that too.
Is helpful.
Melanie.
To let people know that you give a damn.
And of course, somebody on Twitter, which I have done something similar on a couple of other related tweets lately, like when they came from her Twitter account. But he, this guy, Chase Mitchell, at Chase Mitt, who's very funny, he retweeted the four reporters spotted Melania in the White House last week, blah, 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 blah. And he just said, just saying, this is exactly what someone with a dead wife would say.
Right. Did you see the thing about the War of 1812? That was just like in
that
the last...
That just came out? Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Like, essentially, Trump and Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau have had like a really contentious phone conversation. Like that was a while back, like in May. That was a contentious conversation over tariffs. And then he apparently made like a reference to the War of 1812 to do so.
Right. He said...
To like describe these.
Well, he said to the... Because... Trudeau was pushing back on because the basis for the tariffs is is national security, and he's like, how are you claiming national security with us? We're like your great allies, and Trump, and it's unclear whether it was a joke or not. I doubt it because he's not, I think he's capable of that.
It.
But he said, didn't you guys burn down the White House one time?
Oh my god!
Which was the British
during
the, because Canada didn't exist during the
Canada.
War of 18. It was British colony. So
yeah,
he's a smart.
My brain no work good today.
But
so
I will tell you, I wrote a thing this week, a column this week about tariffs and suggesting that we invade Canada. Haha, because I'm whatever goofball Rex. But
and what was the feedback on that?
Well, I got from the right a lot of people making that same comment about how they burned down the White House. Maybe check your facts before you write, you liberal nut.
Maybe check your facts before
you
comment.
Yeah, all right. I was like,
comment.
I have nothing to say to you. So, that sort of seems to be like one of the righty talking points somehow, that the Canadians are a national security threat because they done burned down our White House once.
Right.
Bastards. Even though, like, the Miss America pageant doing away with a swimsuit competition.
I was just about to bring that up.
Okay. Well, that, I thought, I mean... Just the blowback
was unbelievable,
right, from these meninist types and stuff. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. I was like, come on. I mean, look, I didn't hear this and think, okay, well, wow, the Miss America pageant's awesome now. I mean, I still think it's, you know,
it's still a pageant.
Right. And it's kind of, it just doesn't feel like a thing that we should necessarily have anymore. But at the same time, if especially, I mean, you know, if women want to do that, I don't want to like be like, oh, you shouldn't do that, or I don't know. It's kind of, I guess it's up to every individual. But the point of the whole thing was we should be judging people on their intellect and their abilities and not on their physical appearance. And that's good. And that's a really good seed to plant. And then you had morons like Piers Morgan.
Oh, my God.
Writing columns about, you know, well, nobody's going to want to listen to a 250-pound woman talk about world peace, period. And I'm like, oh, God. It's just so...
But, I mean, it's a thing that we've been talking about for now, you know, since this podcast started, right? It's,
yeah.
It's the thing we've been talking about, that is there are these standards on women that do not apply to men. There are... You know, the freedom, I'm going to go air quotes on this, that women have is really quite like, it's very surface.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, at the end of the day, it's, I don't worry about, you know, a lot of times people ask me for comment about something, or they're, you know, writing a piece or to be on a panel or something. They're like, this panel is about empowering women to ask for a raise. And I always say, most women are already pretty empowered to ask for a raise. What we're not talking about is that we are perhaps better at reading the room and knowing the backlash that's going to hit us before it even happens.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, if I push for what I want, I might be treated unfairly as a result. I'm not unempowered to ask for anything that I want, but I also know I pick my battles, because quickly that's going to be like, wow, what a bitch, what an entitled bitch, when the same behavior in men gets rewarded. Mm-hmm. As, wow, what a go-getter. I mean, I have been sitting in a room in which the same language was on my performance review and a male colleague's, and his was given, like, on a scale of 1 to 5, he got a 5 for that, and I got a 2 for that. Because for me, it was something I needed to be punished for.
Right.
For being straightforward and assertive. Because to me, it was explained like, that's off-putting. But for him, like, you're such a great leader.
Sure.
Way to go, buddy. And like, that's just not, you know, until that's eradicated, we're like, any freedom is quite superficial.
And I don't, and that's really the, I mean, the rub is kind of, you know, I look at that sort of thing and I think, okay, why can't men, and there are men who acknowledge that and care about it, but why can't, why is that a threat? That's what I've never understood. Why would it be to rectify that situation and to make things fair? Why is that a threat? Why?
Because you're benefiting from you, royal you, you are benefiting from that kind of privilege.
Yeah, I just, but it's just, it's a, again, and I'm not trying to be holier than anyone, but it's just a, I don't, that thinking just doesn't even resonate with me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand why so many men kind of default to that, you know, position when it comes to just saying, look, let's just put everybody on a level, even playing field. Like, let's stop. I mean, let's just
well,
stop.
Yeah, and I've said this before. To me, I actually don't give a damn what men say to my face that they believe. What I
right.
care about is
what they do.
What they do, and what they do when there's no women in the room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've overheard men talking about, like, a sticky situation. It was like, hey, it wasn't like, hey, what you did was unacceptable. It was like, that lady kind of flipped out that you said that thing. Can you be cool, bro? I know you're cool. It was that. That's not the same thing.
Right, yeah.
It's like, hey, dude, what you said to her was not cool.
Right.
It's not that hard. It's really not that hard.
No.
All you got to say in most situations is, that wasn't cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, at minimum, all we're asking here.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know. I put this little bit of a, not a rant, but I put a thing on Instagram the other day. It was like an AWJ graphic that just said, support women in journalism. And it was also the extent of my graphic design skills. So take that. I put letters on a page, so Ooh. In your face, Hupke.
Nice.
But underneath it, I was going to say, what you know, anytime you see support blank, I always want to say, but how do I do that?
Uh-huh.
So I started
yeah.
listing some ways, and it was, you know, at first I thought about it, and I was like, well, you could quote women in stories, mm-hmm. you can tweet women's bylines, you can, you know, I start making this list, and it really got quite deep pretty fast
yeah, bet,
of all
right.
the things. I mean, it's on my mind right now. It's
yeah.
on my mind.
Uh-huh.
You know, another thing on my mind that has nothing to do with politics, but it does have to do with, you know, larger culture, and that is, I feel like I've seen bold examples of gaslighting
mm-hmm.
in the public sphere in the last week or so, which is the strangest phenomenon. because it really it's a fascinating tool of the patriarchy, because it helps the patriarchy in that you don't have to do anything to me, because I'll go do that to myself. I'll go, well, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I'm overreacting. No, I'm not. We're not. None of us are. We're not overreacting. Like I said, my blood turned to fire this week.
What are the things you're specifically referring to?
It's microaggressions. I mean, oh, okay. Right. It's like, I mean, I think even recognize that don't worry about it is an act of, or can be an act of outrageous privilege. Mm-hmm. You know, like if a white guy says, don't worry about this administration, like recognize that's from a lot of privilege. Like,
yeah.
You're free to worry about whatever the hell you want, but also easy for you to say, bro.
I get that so much in emails from readers.
I would say your readers do kind of talk to you like you're female sometimes.
I never thought of that. I guess, yeah, although, well, I don't know. I mean,
I've recognized some tropes.
Yeah.
And those you've shared.
That's interesting. Yeah, I guess, yeah, I guess I can kind of see that. I mean, frankly, they would be much worse. I mean, I always say that for as bad as the stuff I get happens to be, I'm a white, straight man.
Yeah, like you it's not usually right, sexualizing,
right,
or fetishizing.
Or all this sort of stuff. I mean, but nonetheless, yeah. But they do, you know, I get that a lot, and that's what really drives me crazy, is I get a lot of, why don't you shut up about Trump? I mean, he's doing fine. Just let it go. Find something else to talk about. And I'm like, hey, you know what? This isn't really about me. I mean, it's pissing me off, but at the same time, I'm not cool with, you know, immigrants being separated from their children at the border. I'm not cool with LGBT people seeing their rights either ignored or devalued, or in some cases taken away. I'm not okay with, you know, black people being singled out by the president. And so, I mean, yeah, in the aggregate, is Trump hurting me? I don't know. I mean, he's hurting me in terms of the way that our country is viewed, certainly, and he's hurting me in terms of the disgust that I feel on a daily basis. But he's not hurting me, white, male, Christian guy, in the same way he's hurting other people. But I give a lot of shits about those other people. And so,
shits, plural.
Just because you, Mr. Reader, are fine, your taxes went whatever, you know, your company's doing, I don't give a crap, because you know what? People are hurting and a lot, and it's not fair, and it's not who we are. And so that element of it exhausts me, because mm-hmm. I don't say that to make myself sound like, you know, the great white male crusader for justice here or anything like that.
Sounds like a terrible superhero.
Yeah, it does.
Literally the worst damn superhero on the planet.
Actual social justice warrior.
What'd you say? What'd you call him? White male crusader for justice?
Yeah.
Terrible superhero.
Immediately killed by the Black Panther.
Anyone, take that guy out.
Spider-Man, anybody could do
I'll
it.
Save you. No, Captain I'm good. America, please like, don't.
Sorry, dude.
Don't save me.
You're not
I'm fine, actually. Don't save me. Thanks. Okay.
We're going to jettison you into the outer verse.
Right.
But yeah, that's a real, it's a massive problem. It's a, you know, I'm fine, so I got mine, Jack, kind of.
Well, I think that's a widespread problem. Like, if it doesn't, if something doesn't affect you, then you get to choose whether or not you give a damn about it. And that's,
right.
I think, a great test of character. I would like to pivot a bit, because Trump commuted the life sentence for Alice Marie Johnson, the 63-year-old woman serving a life sentence in prison. I know it was life sentence, but a long sentence in prison for a nonviolent drug offense. Mm-hmm. This is the woman, the case that Kim Kardashian pled
yes.
for him, which is, I feel like all the late night talk show hosts have already made this joke, but they were all like, in other news I never thought I would say, Kim Kardashian came to talk to President Trump about prison reform, which is absurd.
It's like, what the hell's happening? And yeah, but good, you know, I mean, it was a just case. I mean, it was a good case to be, you know, and I'm glad it worked.
Your strange, not famous for anything in particular celebrity for good, not evil, I guess. Fine. Okay.
Yeah, but if you think he's going to do anything about prison reform.
No.
He's just sudden. And honestly, he's like a kitten that just found a shiny new object with the pardoning thing. You could tell. There was just a Washington Post had a story today that he's apparently got like 50 other people lined up to pardon now, because he's just kind of excited about it. And you know what?
Oh, some of them, pardoning is a thing I can do?
Yeah, right. And some of them...
You get a pardon.
Some of them will probably be fine, but he's also pardoned Sheriff Arapaio, whatever the hell that turd's name is.
I'm going to auto-tune you saying that over and over.
And then Dinesh D'Souza, who's a blithering racist idiot, who just... I mean, there was no justification for pardoning the man. I mean, he was as guilty as sin. Yeah, but good, you know, look, good. Thank you for pardoning. I mean, I think that's the right thing to do based on my understanding of that case, certainly.
Also, would you like to hear the most terrifying lead I've read all day?
No.
No, I would not. This is from Politico. Headline, Trump seeks to reorganize the federal government. And this is the lead. The Trump administration is preparing to release a sweeping plan for reorganizing the federal government that includes a major consolidation of welfare programs and a renaming of the Health and Human Services Department.
Good.
That's the worst lead I've read. Not because it's a bad lead, because it's a terrifying lead.
It is. I mean,
don't do that. Don't do that.
The damage that is going to be done that will have been done by the time this is all over, and at this point, I don't think it's going to be over until the next presidential election at earliest. The damage that's going to be done is just—it's breathtaking. I mean, you look at the judicial, look at the judges that are being put in place. That's going to last for our lifetime, probably.
Oh yeah.
And stuff, and the, you know, it, I mean, you just look at the way. They're eroding the, you know, housing and urban development and the Department of Education and the Mick Mulvaney, the head of the consumer finance. What is that? Oh, God, I can't think of the name of it. But the group that was put in place to protect consumers, basically, he's just doing away. He's like, no, we don't need this.
Yeah,
and
we don't need that.
Letting all of these crooks go. And, you know, it's stunning. It's so stunning.
We just need to keep sending vitamins to Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah, no kidding. Because, please, man, I mean, you know, you get another... I mean, you can already see, I mean, a couple of rulings now, the difference this has made. And again, I go back to the election and to the people who have... You talk about privilege. Privilege was thinking that these two, Clinton and Trump, were somehow equally bad. That was the line. You know, oh, they're equally bad. Who cares? And I'm like, you know what? Damn you, man. I mean, you have screwed a generation of people over in certain ways. You have caused that voting in that manner was so reckless and so arrogant and so privileged. It's obscene, you know, because for the Supreme Court seat alone, not to mention the myriad other things that have happened that were as predictable as the sun rising. I mean, it was just, you could see this coming a mile away.
Well, that's the thing, is that, you know, either way, we kind of had issues. Either candidate, there were issues. There was, I think it came down to vote strategically. You know, I know a lot of people that voted very differently in the primary than they did in the general. But yeah, not surprising, right? I mean, I think this is the same. Look, we have the same problems. They just keep getting cloaked in different administrations and different issues and different technologies. And I mean, it's like what I was just saying. The, you know, femicide, the Salem witch trials and all the things that have befallen women, things like that. It's not different. It's not different. It's exactly the same. It's just in different formats now.
Right, but it would have not been as... We would have been on a better track without Trump.
Yes, I agree, but I think I just think there are systemic things either way. I don't.
Oh yeah,
Hillary
course,
wouldn't
yeah.
have fixed them.
No. Yeah, no, I agree with you.
And her being elected wouldn't have fixed them.
Right.
I think there would have been a little more like Democrat glee that would have maybe stalled in things being fixed. I mean, at the very least, not that I'm saying this is good, but at the very least. I think now we're in a moment in which no one can pretend that it's not fucked up. It would be fucked up either way, but
right.
I think you can't pretend, you can't mask it. You can't be like, well, but we got a Dem in the White House. Like, no.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, that could have been used as an excuse, but I mean, I look more at the like smaller.
Yeah, but I'm also saying it didn't start on November.
Of course not. Oh, no. God, no. No, of course not. No, definitely not.
I mean, I remember on election night, I was working, and there was a woman standing next to me who was She was like a minister and a yoga teacher. She was a really interesting person. And when it started to shift, and it looked like it was, you know, going the way it ultimately ended up going, she said, a bunch of people around her started kind of bemoaning that. And she said, you know what? Either way, we wake up with a roadmap in the morning. Either way. We know the map. We know what we need to do. It might be a little clearer this way. That's the silver lining I choose to look at. And everyone kind of scoffed at her. But I was like, you know, the woman has the point. You're not blinking. What's wrong?
I don't. That's a little bit too rosy of a spin on it for me. But
okay,
I understand what you're saying. I mean, I just, I can't excuse the people who didn't recognize how consequential this election was.
Well, I can't excuse decades and decades of white supremacy and patriarchy, so...
No, I mean, I'm with you. No, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that. I don't think that was the... But I mean, it's like...
I think it's dangerous to kind of step into a place where people go, golly, everything was fine until Trump got elected. No, things have been fucked up since the Crusades. Like, really.
Well, let's put it this way. Would you say that over the course of Obama's 8 years that we were making better steps in better directions for... The kinds of
things. In some ways, yeah. Like, personally, I feel more impact now in the Trump administration because he has kind of emboldened a particular group that I interact with frequently.
Right.
Not interact with. That sounds like voluntarily. But, like, I'm making study of, right? So, personally, sure, it's way more screwed up. But I also have to recognize that... that there's value in, I'd rather know where the anti-Semites are and the misogynists. I'd rather know where they are than have it bubble under the surface for another decade.
I understand what you're saying. I do. I mean, but the cost of that, unfortunately, is, you know.
People say anti-Semitic crap to my face and sexist crap to my face. Well, they've always done that.
Yeah.
Now I just know when it's coming a little bit sooner. That's what I'm saying.
Right,
I'm not saying that the Trump administration is good. I'm not saying this is pretty awesome that we are now in this time. But I'm just trying to say if there is an upside, it is that I think people who were complacent and let this shit happen in the first place now realize there's work to do. I got to do something. Because complacency drives me crazy.
Yeah.
As I have mentioned many times, the armchair activist is not a thing I'm here for.
Right. It's just that the fight is going to be a million times harder now because you now have, you know, one Supreme Court justice. You may wind up with another. And you have justice, you have, you know, like judges, federal judges all over the landscape who are going to fuck things up for years to come, who are going to have impacts on women's rights, on LGBT rights, on, you know, all worker rights, on, you know, all kinds of things.
So the only solution is a good old fashioned defenestration, which I've been saying from the damn start, and also smash it and burn it all to the ground, all of it.
But see, that's a problem, though, because that's what a lot of people were thinking when they voted for Jill Stein or whoever the hell they voted for. Was screw this? I want to burn it all to the ground.
Well, but change is incremental. Change is not. You know, a giant flash of light. Change is person by person, and that's where people fuck it up.
Right, but they could have kept the change thing going, person.
Right,
by
but
person,
I'm saying like
not
a Jill Stein solution would be a giant flash of light. You can't move. You have to move a lot of people. You have to go really far one direction to get the bulk of people in the middle to scoot an inch. You can't just come in the door with, you know, you got to scoot people along incrementally. You can't go, here's what we're doing now. You have to move them along to have actual change.
Right. Which is why I'd never thought Bernie Sanders had a snowball's chance in hell of winning anything. And, but again, that we could have kept moving incrementally just fine without having to bring this turd into
Well, and that's what I'm saying. I don't know that we were moving.
Really?
I think there was a lot of status quo going on.
Well, okay. I mean, I think there was a lot of progress made in the Obama years, and not fast enough, of course, but, you know, things were heading. And then, of course, if you wound up with another Supreme Court justice who had more progressive viewpoints and, you know, of interpretation of the law and that sort of thing, then a lot more would be
I'm not disagreeing with you on that. I'm just saying, I think fundamentally how I view change working, I think it backfires if you do it too fast. It's like nouveau riche people. Like, if you come to a lot of money really fast, you fuck it up.
Yeah.
If you, like, slowly build your life and have a quality life, that's, you know, it's that difference.
I'm going to just put you down as Trump supporter. Okay. No,
holy shit. I would like to say that there is a vast conspiracy in Silicon Valley. I'm sure of this because how many times in a given day do I text the word patriarchy? Many. And potato archery is what autocorrect is turning that into.
I saw that.
Potato archery. Now, some very smart person on Twitter found a picture of a Mr. Potato Head with an arrow sticking through him, stuck to a wall. That's potato archery.
Nice.
Well, smash the potato
smash
archery,
the potato
everybody.
Archery. That could be the title of your book. I like that.
Smash the potato archery. Well, someone would think I hate the Irish or something, which I do not.
Noted Irish lover.
They will always find fault, no matter what. So you might as well just go all in.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. I think we solved everything.
Smash the potato archery, friends. We're going to peace out. We'll see you next time from a new location.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, this is our last hurrah.
We should pour one out for this fine studio. All right, this has been Guth and Hupke on Politics. We'll see you next time. And don't forget to, as I said, smash the potato archery. We're not high. Bye.